Blog Talk Radio.
I gotta tell what I see. I gotta talk about my life as I see.
Welcome, welcome. You just tuned into the
Hour
Show.
-10.
And it is a biggie.
It is a biggie.
It's your boy Journey Gray. I want you to settle in and experience some hip hop.
I'm tap dancing on the beat, Savion, Sammy Davis, man, cabbage packed in the Cadillac, smoking haze again, John Blazing, ghostwriting, striking lightning, call me Thor, control the flow, I'm Poseidon, when I'm writing to the score of my life, through the strife, found the Lord in the mic without a hype, found freedom out, chasing the adrenaline, hoping I could spit again, one more song, open mics, I was killing them, now you feel the power, the present is the gift and the time is the hour, seducing seconds as they beckon for the second coming, I'm no messiah, but there's fire when I'm strumming, vocal cords when I'm humming, life in bullets in the hundreds, in Chicago in the summer, from some youngins in the Hummer, I'm BB King with Adidas on, I'm complex, I'm Stephen King when the beat is on in context. You can consider me a killer in this trilogy. Plates bring the realest on the show so you can feel it. We are a tribe leading new school scenarios. So listen close as we come you through your stereos.
This is Journey Brave and you are now tuned in to the G-Hour Show.
Yes. Let that beat ride on out. Yes. I am your host, Ray Cole. And tonight.
Hey, Ray.
Yes. I almost didn't make it.
You and me both, girl. Oh, Lord.
Yes. We on the same thing.
That's why I had to shout you up before you could finish. I'm sorry. Go ahead with the intro, girls.
No. That was the introduction. Y'all, we almost didn't make it. I was flying back from a wedding. I forgot what time it was. I'm trying to wait on the plate. I'm like, I got to go. Yes. But I am here with you. And yes. So how are you doing, cuzzo? How's it going?
I'm fine. It sounds like you had a good time though at the wedding. Did you get your plate?
I didn't get my plate. I did get to eat some fruit and cheese crackers. But it was just time. It was time to go. I really enjoyed myself. I love to see people. This person I went to school with from the time I was probably like in maybe like the third grade to high school. So, you know, so to see people that, you know, that you grew up with getting married and then they inviting you to sing at their wedding and stuff. So, you know, it's just really, really, really nice. And, you know, you get to catch up with people. So I really enjoyed myself. Just had to fly back. Had to get little.
You know what? That is so interesting. I really appreciate that because I'm the type of person that has moved around so much that all I really have as a grounding base is my family to refer to, because from the time I was in elementary school, I always went to another school every year for the most part.
Oh, wow.
Until I got into junior high school. And when I got into junior high school, luckily I was able to stay, but I wasn't able to. I bonded with friends, but because of the family situation, you know what I'm saying? It wasn't like it is probably with you. And then high school, let's just say I graduated in a year and a half on an intensive on the Nikki Notations program.
We said I had to get up out of there. Y'all don't understand. You should tell them the story. I mean, you should let them know because it's a very interesting story, and, I mean, this could be very inspiring to somebody else that's in high school that got more than enough credits to graduate. I'm going to let you tell the story. Go ahead.
You're But Leon already told the story. Well, I don't know if people want to follow my route. And, again, I'm from California, and it seems like all school systems are different. So make sure you know your school system. And for me, I basically, for my ninth grade and half of my 10th grade year, decided that I was going to kick it. I would only show up at lunchtime, and once lunch is over, I'd go ahead and be off about my own merry way. But I knew exactly how many credits it took for me to graduate, how many credits it took per class. So when it came to the second half of my 10th grade year, I needed to get my driver's ed in because that was the last year that they were going to pay for it. So I got that, went, I did early morning, which they call a zero period. So I went to school before school started. I did the regular school. Then I did what they call night school after school. So, and after that, I did an adult night school, and I went to summer school, which was the regular summer school, but I also did an independent study, and I did so many credits for independent study. I got a certification for the most credits to her. Principal had to sign off on it. But prior to me doing that, because I didn't go to school for a year and a half, obviously they said, oh, no, you don't have enough credits. You can't be in the 10th grade. You have to repeat the 9th grade because it's based on your credits. So I said, that's not going to happen. I went to my counselor, and I'll never forget Mr. Steyer is his name. Yes, I put it out there. Yes.
That's your name.
And he told me, you know, I gave him the program as far as what I was going to do, the zero period, all the different night schools, and independent study. He would not sign off on it. He said, no, you're just going to have to stay back another year. I said, hell I will. I went to the counter. I left his office. I went to the counter. I said, what do I need to do to get another counselor? And they said, you know, because I was underage, your parent has to sign. I set up the appointment, went out to the pay phone because we didn't have cell phones at the time. I guess I'm telling my age. But I went out, told my mom, and look, you need to come up here before you go to work and transfer me to a counselor. I went to Mrs. Washington, and I gave her my program of what I wanted to do. She looked at it, she signed it, and said, good luck. And bam, I was able to go
ahead. Yes,
but girl, when it came to the last semester, I mean, I was doing, like I said, the zero period, the two night schools. I did the independent summer school plus the regular summer school. But then I started working in the vice principal office during lunchtime. And I acquired so many credits. I had more than enough credits to graduate. I graduated a semester early. I was on the honor list. And by the time that I walked, I was in junior college. So
well,
I'm not quite sure. You know,
well,
if that's the route people want to take.
y'all hear that? Do y'all hear that? Do you hear what you can do if you put your mind to it? Okay, I wish I would have knew, because I would have been give us free up out of there. Okay, because I had other things to do. Okay, so
well,
I definitely.
Hey, well, you're in high school. You can't go to junior college. I want everybody to know, as long as you're doing what you need to do in high school, you can go to junior college concurrently, and you can get credits, because my sister started going at the age of 14. And
oh, wow.
So, yeah, that's just something that people need to know. You don't have to wait. Some people don't want to be in high school. Sometimes that system isn't set up for them. So there are alternatives, but sometimes you have to know what's available to you. I'm not saying drop out of high school. I'm just saying keep your eyes on the prize and expand your options. So anyways.
Well, I mean, not only that, just to add to it, sometimes people have, you know, if you just say, for instance, you're going through a bad situation at the crib, you know what
that's
I'm saying?
Right.
And, you know, and sometimes, let's just keep it real, when your at-home situation ain't together, school is the last thing that you worried about. So, I mean, hey, why not swan dive over into it and get out as fast as you can, you know?
But can I just say, too, I was also able to have a, as soon as I was able to work and get a work permit, I was working at a retail store. In addition to that, I was doing, we had the ability to do a certification in a regional occupational program. And so I was able to get two certifications in addition to going to regular high school and every other school. So, but, you know, that's not the route that most people want to take. I'm a procrastinator.
Well, I mean, you're in a way, you got it done.
Yeah.
You got it done in your own time. So, I mean,
all I could dedicate was a year and a half to high school. I'm sorry. Anyways, moving on.
Well, I would play a song, but right now we're having some technical difficulties and with the music for some reason. I'm not 100% sure what's going on and why it's going on, but our, we're working on getting that fixed right now as we speak. So I guess what we could do is just get over off into the topics. I mean, that's really all we could do right now. So.
And if you continue with the challenges we're going to have, you just go ahead and give us a Ray Cole rendition of how you came today.
I ain't fooling with you.
I am not fooling with you.
This is true. Don't put me on the spot. But, well, yeah, but we're going to get into the topics right now, puzzo.
Okay. Okay. Well, we're going to start off with your topic of Trina going off on a fan for posting an opinion on Instagram over that she compared her to Khloe Kardashian, which is the current boo of her ex-boyfriend, French Montana. So I just want to know, are fans friends or foes? So,
the question.
Well, it is a good question because you have it to where Rihanna's going off on fans on Instagram and other social media, and now we have Trina, and there's other examples. We were talking about, what's his name? August.
Oh, that crazy dude.
He didn't have to wait for social media.
So wait a minute, that crazy dude.
How do people look at fans nowadays, right? Okay, so what the situation is with Trina and this particular fan is the fan found it necessary to talk about Trina's talk show and pointed out that she never has as much class or money as Khloe Kardashian.
Ouch.
Well, yeah, that bites. That does hurt. I can totally see that. But, you know, Khloe Kardashian, I think she's a cool person, you know, what have you. So it had to be, okay, anyways, let me just, before I editorialize this situation. So Trina goes in and basically cusses the fan totally out and calls her all kind of ugly bees that's talking ass. She talked about the girl mama and how the mama should have left the girl in the hospital when she was born, and society should be looking at that ugly wide nose. You know what I'm saying?
Come on. My God.
Okay. Yeah. She told the girl to eat some, you know, turds, basically. Told her to die because her face is gross. She told her her hair was big, the nose was wide. She talked about her braids and, you know, and then she had, I'm the wrong bee to mess with, okay?
She was going for the kill.
Exactly. And so the fan, after reading the comment, we're back on, and she even had to start off with, damn, you know, that was the first one.
Say, hold up, what did I say to you, okay?
Exactly. She was like, what the heck, basically, all I said is her show looks like a struggling. I have to, you know, she was talking in her own vernacular, so let me try to jazz it up. She was saying that the show looked like it was struggling, and she didn't have Khloe Kardashian's money or class. And she was like, dang, it's an opinion. So listen to me. She's clearly feeling some type of way with the end of the quote. And I find that this is interesting because she also, this is on the tail end of French Montana having a Instagram challenge with Trenika Arnold, who French Montana must be glad the spotlight has now switched to his ex, because Trenika Arnold ran that dude like nobody's business. And, you know, when the woman was talking, the fan was talking about her not having class like Khloe, I could totally see it, because the way Trenika Arnold came back at him was so classy. That was like the most proper read. That's like
ever.
You just exactly all
get
you can
your
do
face
is say,
up, sir.
All you can say is, I apologize, ma'am.
I'm sorry. I didn't know.
You know,
I didn't know.
And just quickly, for people who aren't quite sure of what the challenge was, Trenika Arnold, Trenika Arnold, excuse me, who was Pam from Martin, was the target of an Instagram joke posted by French Montana a couple of weeks ago.
You put her edges up there.
Yeah, she was pictured on a plane with the caption, I wish Martin could see this right now. He would tear her up. And when she found out about it, she just went in on him and just basically said, you know what, I took a look at all your pictures, all the public information available, and I still don't know who you are or what you do. Who are you?
They have to review in your credentials. I still don't have a clue as to what it is you do.
Excuse me. So she was saying, other than you dating a Kardashian and taking pictures with, as she put in capitals, legitimate celebrities, who are you and what do you do? How have you contributed to society? How have you helped those in need? What type of philanthropic work have you done? You know, what charitable organization she is with on, I said. And then she asked them, okay, and do you even owe your own name? I had to stand up and salute her on that one. Okay, so let that be a lesson to everybody. Before you come for somebody who's legit, but she ended it in a really nice way. She was basically saying, well, thank you for recognizing me. You know, that show has been in the running and been in as part of society for over 30 years. While you're talking, I am a part of a 501c3 organization, which is a nonprofit organization that supports an autoimmune disease such as lupus. And why don't you go ahead and use some of that money that you've been putting bets on, a $40,000 basketball bet on with your cohorts, why don't you donate it to, donate it to my organization? Oh, does he? Well, he does, because $5 million, $7 million.
Let me tell you something about these people with all this quote-unquote money, okay? If you ain't signing the checks, you ain't got that kind of money. to be gambling, okay? Like, it's a whole lot of broke rappers right now. So I'm pretty sure they was doing the same thing he doing. And like you said, don't nobody really know who you are. You know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, granted, some people know who you are, but you still climbing up the charts. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah.
Well, he does definitely have money. I mean, he's worth a couple of million, but at the same time.
A couple of million.
Well, I mean, that's around between 5 to 7.5 million because he does have a body of work. But at the same time, if you're spending $40,000 on a basketball game, dude, you definitely need, as Kaniga Arnold said, I could put you up on game with someone who can legitimately hire you for something. So why don't you get at me on some real stuff while you talking? You know what I'm saying? Post the pictures.
Why you flipping your gums? Well, she definitely shut him down. I mean, that's a really polite way of shutting somebody down. I mean, granted, maybe he thought he was joking and he thought it was funny, you know, like some people do. They think it's funny to laugh at other people's expense, and she just pretty much let him know, you ain't got it like that, okay? like you talking
don't
about
have
me
it like that.
Right, you don't
have
it like that.
Like that. Financially, you don't have the credentials historically. You don't know the people I know. You don't have the organizational skills. You don't have the philanthropic type of mentality. Dude, let me school you. And really, you know, some people need to be schooled, right?
I agree. I mean, there's nothing wrong with being schooled, especially if it's by somebody that's been around, because she's been around since you was in diapers. You know what I'm saying? So while you talking about her, you just need to focus on yourself and worry about yourself and trying to keep your money. Stop trying to keep up with the Kardashians because they got it. Your little $2 million, they'll swallow it. You know what I'm saying? So, like, that's my point. Like, what people don't get, like, I don't know what his upbringing. I don't know if his family has money or whatever the case may be. But a lot of times, you know, a lot of these rappers are from places where it ain't a lot of money floating around. You know what I'm saying? And you get on, yeah, you might have $2 million, but that can get lost real quick if you are just doing foolishness. You know what I'm saying?
Well, that is
true. I'm just saying it can get spent real fast, and then you be right back in square one trying to get back on. That's all I'm saying. Don't do dumb stuff. Yeah, you got the money, cool, but let's be smart about our purchases. That's all. And what we're doing,
again,
you out.
I kind of wonder, because he's dating a Kardashian, and you know Kardashians are notorious for their use of elevating themselves on social media. Perhaps he needed a little bit more information on who to deal with. That's what.
Oh, who to go for.
Exactly.
She went for the wrong one that time. She was like, hold up. She said, let's scratch your scalp. I know you ain't talking about me. I know you ain't snapped no photo of me while I'm trying to rest. Let me research your background, your info.
Okay.
Well, that's how you shut them down.
Yeah, she did. But what do you think about Trina? I think, you know, I kind of see French Montana, maybe he's in a catch-22, because the way Trina came, I can kind of see why he was like, deuces. I'm not quite sure what happened in a relationship, but it doesn't seem like, you know.
Oh, yeah, she snapped real quick. It seems like what it was, like you said, it seemed like she hit a sensitive, you know what I'm saying, sensitive area for Trina. Like, one, you know what I'm saying, one, you're going to compare me to my ex's new girl, okay? And depending on how they broke up or how the situation went down, you know, it might be some bad blood there. But you're going to try to tell
you
me
think?
That I don't have any class, huh?
You think it's some bad blood? I don't even think it's a question for her to snap off like that. I'm
she
sorry.
She in her feelings, honey. Yes, she is in her MS feelings, okay? Because she is definitely, I mean, for you to go off on somebody you don't know like that, But on the same token, I think what it is, I think a lot of these artists are getting tired of people saying, you know, sideways stuff to them and thinking, you know, and them not being able to respond back. You know what I'm saying? Like, maybe that was her fourth insult that day. You know what
okay,
I'm saying?
But that may be true. But at the same time, as an artist, I understand that you're a human. But at the same time, you are a professional that is presenting a persona. So when does the personal and the professional line blend? And if it does come to a head, which as a human, it will at some time, you're going to get in your feelings, would you not want to come like Tanika Arnold with it? Let me school you, fam, on what the real is versus
well, Tanika Arnold took the grown woman approach. You know,
right.
took the approach where let me school you some while you slapping your jaws. Trina took the more of the ratchet approach. I mean, maybe she thought the person she was dealing with was ratchet, and sometimes ratchet people only understand ratchet. You get what I'm saying? Like, sometimes
right.
ratchet people don't. Yes.
The fan was specifically stating, because I probably did state it. Let me just say what the fan was stating to her. She told the girl, hold on, let me go to it. So the fan found it necessary to talk about her talk show and pointed out that she'd never have as much class or money as Chloe. And with her response, I think she kind of, Trina reiterated what the fan was basically saying. So,
I mean, yeah, she did. You know what I'm saying? Like, she kind of proved, you know what I'm saying, proved the fan's point by retaliating the way that she did. But on the same token, like you said, we are all humans. And who knows, like, how in this situation, maybe her and French Montana, you know, maybe it's still some feelings. Well, apparently it's still some feelings there, because if you ain't cared nothing about that person, you would have just kept on moving past the comment. But, you know, apparently she and her feelings about it, she got a little upset. Do I think that she owes the fan an apology? Depends. You know what I'm saying?
You say the fan get what they get.
I'm
the
just saying, sometimes you can't come for people. But the thing is this, if you walking down the street and it's somebody that you kind of just heard of, you know, you think you know something about them, you would, most people, unless you just straight crazy, would never walk up to that person and say, I heard this, that, and the third about you, out of fear that, one, this person might be just as crazy, if not crazier, than you, and knock all your teeth out. You see what I'm saying? But the thing is, people think they can say whatever they want to celebrities because they think that they're not going to do anything, or that, you know, the celebrity can't, you know, get at them or can't touch them. And I think some people may just be tired of it. You know, like I said,
well,
that lady probably struck a nerve.
That's true. And I guess what the challenge is, because I'm sure she has a lot of fans that follow her and say both positive and negative and questionable things to her. When do you pick your battle, and when do you go to war? I just don't think that this was something worth going to war over, in my opinion. And even if you do go to war, the way that in which you do it, especially if someone is talking about you, your character, talking about class, they're talking about your value, well, what people put value on, which is monetary, and then they're talking about you professionally because they're talking about the talk show. In what way are you to respond when you're still trying to build a brand? I don't know.
I say just don't respond at all. I mean, it can be difficult, but sometimes the best thing, if you really want to make a person feel irrelevant, don't respond. And it works, because it does. It works. Don't pay them no attention, because I used to have this person. They would come and they would walk around by me and try to be seen and be noticed. I never paid them attention. I see you, but I'm never going to give you the satisfaction of saying anything to you. You're
not
going to
acknowledge their presence.
I'm not going to even acknowledge your presence because apparently, you know what I'm saying? Apparently, you got to be around me. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not looking for you. You know what I'm saying? I'm not seeking out where you at. You come to find me. So if you got to keep coming around me, that means that I'm winning over here. You know what I'm saying? That's what I said, lady, you on my status. So you just worry about your class and money level. Okay? Like, I ain't on your status.
Can we talk about somebody who's winning? Oh, my gosh.
I just got
to go to my guy. Is the music back up? I hear something in the background.
The music is back up. This is just the topic music that's playing. Like, you know, that way it won't just sound so dry.
My giggles are helping, okay?
Your giggles are helping, but you know what I'm saying? You still, like, it just fills in the blanks. That's all. Just filling in the blanks.
Yep. Oh, that's cool. Well, I just wanted to touch on it because, you know, I got to give my guy adequate time and attention. Yes, we're moving on with the story that includes Ice Cube.
Lord. She loves Ice Cube. That's a future baby daddy.
No, he can't be because he's already happily married for a lot of years. But I appreciate him to no end. But if I was ever given the opportunity prior to him being happily married, you know, I would have.
On and popping.
Yes, but I don't deal with married men. No, sir. No, ma'am.
No, don't even insult me, sir.
I don't covet. Yes. I don't covet married men, but I love Ice Cube. I'm sorry. Okay. Moving on, people. We're going to go on to the biopics, the good, the bad, and the ugly. We've heard of a couple that's come up. The one in particular is the Lifetime biopic of Whitney Houston, whose family is against it, and they're still going ahead. They've already casted Yaya as the Whitney Houston character. And I forget who they casted as Bobby Brown, but they're already casted regardless of the displeasure of the Houston family. Now Lifetime has announced that they're going to do a biopic of Aaliyah, which has again caused another uproar. But before we get into that of the uproar, let's start with something positive. There is going to be a biopic of Ice Cube and N.W.A. Yes,
uh-oh.
It's called Straight Outta Compton. Compton's in the house. Yes.
Uh-oh.
Okay. Straight Outta Compton. And so this particular biopic is Ice Cube has lobbied to have his son, O'Shea Jackson Jr., to play him in the upcoming N.W.A. movie, which I thought was fabulous. I mean, I thought that was wonderful. And that goes to show you that when you do things right as an artist, you can use your power, your position, your influence for the good. You know, bring his son into this position, who else would be able to play him? You know your parents, regardless of your relationship, and it looks like they have a wonderful relationship, but I'm just saying, you don't have to study them. You've been studying them all your life. And his son has not acted before. This is going to be his premier role, but at the same time, not only does he know his father, but his father is an established actor in his own right, so I'm sure he will guide him in a much more intense, more intimate way than he could with other actors who have these ideas and I went to the school of this, and I'm acting as this. I don't need you to tell me, you know. So it's more of a molding. So anyways, let me just go through this really quick. Fourth, Ice Cube is actually going to be the executive producer. So boom, power play on the field.
Yes, get that money.
So he's the executive producer alongside Dr. Dre, yes, and Eazy-E's widow, Tomica Woods, right? And it's going to come out through Universal. And even though, again, his son hasn't acted before and other actors had to audition, they went ahead and approved the story. And what they're going to talk about in the biopic, it'll be a dramatic story that encompasses hip-hop, dope dealing, Reaganomics, you know, when Reagan was in office, AIDS, LAPD, rap feuds. They're going to talk about the FBI. They're going to talk about the parental advisory stickers that were on records at the time.
They about to get juicy.
Exactly. And, you know, the NWA were pioneers in gangster rap. They sold over 10 million records in spite of all the critics about their lyrics and in spite of everything, they just really transformed what rap was about during that era. And so
they did.
And I find it interesting that F. Gary Gray, who's done The Italian Job and The Negotiator with Samuel Jackson, which I absolutely love, and The Negotiator was the first time that a black director was given a multi-million-dollar budget, like F. Gary Gray. And he was one of the youngest directors to get that budget, in addition to being a what they call a minority. And so he's going to direct it, and the script is going to come from Andrea Berloff, who actually wrote the script for the World Trade Center. So this ain't going to be a punk type of biopic. This is going to be the real deal. But the reason why I wanted to start off with Ice Cube was, yes, I love him. Yes, I love him.
That was our future boo.
Well, you know, I love him because he's always been true to what he does, to his art personally. You don't hear a lot about him. He's a family man. He's dedicated to whatever he does. It's not one-sided. It's not lopsided. It's balanced. So that's why I give him respect as a man, as an artist. And obviously, I don't know everything, but the point is, he doesn't put everything in the media. And the media doesn't put everything. They respect him as well. So,
he's what the rapper should strive to be, because when he got in, it was hardcore. It was gangster rap, but, like, it kind of turned around. You know what I'm saying? Like, he still looked like he could put somebody in a headlock. But on the same token, he looks like he's about his business. He looks like he's a charming, funny guy, you know, and that he likes to do stuff because, like, a lot of his stuff is more so toward family and, you know what I'm saying, and just, like, the fun elements of growing up in the hood, you know. So, I mean, I think he definitely is what other rappers, up-and-coming rappers, should try to strive to be like.
I think he's been authentic. I think he's reflecting what he's seen during his era, because gangster rap is a reflection of what was going on during the time in that era in the West, in California. And I think that as he's matured, he's taken us along his journey on what he values and what he considers, you know, to be a focus of his life. So in moving on and saying that, you know, we come back to the Lifetime biopics of Aaliyah. And with Aaliyah, they have tentatively titled this biopic Aaliyah, Princess of R&B, and they've casted Zendaya in the lead role as Aaliyah. And they announced that the teen singer actress is
going to play the lead role amongst a lot of criticism about this young lady. And she has been a contestant, just a little background on ABC's Dancing with the Stars. She's released the album, her first album, which was self-entitled Zendaya last summer. I guess she's 17, and she starred in Disney series and original movies for the channel. And obviously, she knows and she respects Aaliyah. She's being photographed dressed like her and things of that nature. But the critics have come for this young lady because they say she's not black enough to play her, even though she's mixed. And, you know, we're talking about Hollywood, we were talking earlier about transformation. You can Okay, we're going to move on then.
Don't get me started because my opinion runs deep.
Well, let me just finish up with the facts, and I'm going to let you go, girl. And so basically the biopic is going to be based on Aaliyah's book, Aaliyah, More Than a Woman, which was a New York Times bestseller. And Zendaya will perform and record four of Aaliyah's songs for the film. Now, let me just quickly move on to a little more information surrounding Aaliyah and what has happened. And as a background, in August on the 25th of 2001, Aaliyah died, unfortunately, in a plane crash along with other crew members of her and also the pilot. She passed at the age of 22. And the family, again, is against this biopic. And not only are they against this Lifetime biopic, but come to find out that Drake is dropping songs and has a upcoming Aaliyah project himself. And before her passing, he dropped a song entitled Enough Said. And it came just weeks before the 11th anniversary of the untimely death of Aaliyah. And so that has caused controversy as well, because the family, not only are they not supporting Lifetime's biopic, they're not supporting Drake as well. But Drake is saying people should be excited about what he's going to do. He's saying that him and the producer, Noah 40 Shabib, they're overseeing the project, and they're going to have 13 to 14 new songs. And he feels like everybody should be excited about this.
Because it's his project.
Okay, so let me give you three different... Do you want me to give you the backgrounds of Aaliyah's family, the camp, and to stop right now?
No, that's fine.
Listening to
people and the stuff that they say. It's like N-word. You know what I'm saying? I'm trying to stop cursing. I'm trying to stop using that word. But, you know, the stuff that people do, man, it make you have a backslip. Make your back slide right back into some stuff. But I'm listening. Yes, I am listening.
Okay. I promise I'll be really quick. So Aaliyah's family basically said, quote, this is from the brother Rashad Houghton, who posted on Aaliyah's Facebook fan page, quote, there is no official album being released that's supported by the Hoffman family. And yes, and then he also went on to quote and say, no female I've seen can play my sister. And this came just an hour after his post about the upcoming album release rumors. So he's referring to the biopic of Lifetime and Drake's recorded Aaliyah Project. Now, let me just quickly go into Aaliyah's camp, which also supports Aaliyah's family. And, again, the Enough Said has received mixed views, not only from Aaliyah's camp, but from the fans who believe that close friends and producers Timbaland and Missy Elliott should be involved in the project. And Timbaland had went on New York's Power 105.1 radio station,
yes,
and he basically stated, and this is a quote, "I know they're trying to drop some Aaliyah records, but if he do it, it should be with me and Missy Elliott. The proper way for him to do that would be for me, him, and Missy to be all on the record." But
and Aaliyah's family.
On his, yes, well, with their blessing and their support. But he said, but to put it on his record would just not be right. And even Missy said, hey, we haven't been contacted. And she put out a statement through her manager, and she would just, they're basically saying that they're keeping the memory of their close friend alive, and that basically they respect the family and they respect the camaraderie that they had as musicians, to, you know, and they should be involved. But DMX, he says it all. I don't care what anybody says about DMX. He came the hardest and the realest in his quote. Because he already can't stand Drake. So all he needed was a question asked. Maybe he didn't even need a question asked, but he let people know exactly how he felt about it. And he feels that Drake is dishonoring Aaliyah. And let me just
why does Drake think one song would be to honor Aaliyah? A whole album, no. You using her album to keep yourself, to keep your music going. Like, I mean, not only that, if you truly wanted to honor her, you would contact her family and get their blessing. I'm pretty
this
sure they would.
Bitch,
Go ahead. I'm sorry. I just got in my feelings.
I know you about to bust. I know I'm taking my time. I'm about to finish with this quote because this tossed it off. And I think it's going to get you to where you need to be. DMX said, quote, "It just shows what I said. Drake is an effing piece of shit."
Oh.
Wait a minute. He said, "You didn't even know this woman. You were in middle school. What the F gives you the F right? Allow Aaliyah to live on and not include the people she always worked with, not include the recipe. It's wrong. Honor her legacy. Honor what she did. You don't have no right to make it yours. If you're going to allow it to live on, do it in a manner that honors what she did respectfully." I said, boom. Yes,
you better say that, DMX. You better let him know, okay? Because I just think it is disrespectful, because another thing that that Timbaland said during that interview was, he was like, you know that pretty him and Missy was saying pretty much that, you know, yeah, you can make a song, but what you're not realizing is that's still a wound for some people. Like, you coming out with that song, they hear it on the radio, you know, that's their sister, that's their daughter, their niece, whoever it is to them, you know what I'm saying? And, you know, you have to be respectful of people's families, you know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, her family is still here, they're still around, and it's just, you know, it's kind of like still open wound for him. So, I mean, he just has to be a little bit more mindful and a little bit more respectful, in my opinion. You just can't do what you want to. You know, I mean, I get where he's coming from. Maybe he's thinking, oh, they should be happy somebody want to, you know what I'm saying, want to honor her with the song. Maybe, you know, who knows what his train of thought is. I can't speak for that man. But, you know, on the same token, it's just kind of like, sir, it's kind of like not tasteful, so. You know,
yeah.
Thank you, DMX, for telling them like it is, okay? For saying what I can't say. I'm trying to work on me.
But for Ray.
What's
when
that?
You want to come raw, come raw. But it's the way in which you still put people in their place and you still are authentic to who you are, you know? And
I'm working
DMX
on it.
Yeah. It's a learning process.
Yes, it is. It really is, man, because I'm telling you, when you used to go from 0 to 100, you know, you got to kind of take baby steps. You know, it's like all or nothing.
Yes,
but, but, yes. Thank you, DMX, wherever you are in the world. If you hear this message, thank you for saying, for putting it how it should have been put. Because, I mean, I feel like he doesn't, he might not be doing it intentionally, but he is stepping on people's toes.
Yes, definitely. And so the question is, do you think that it will be well received, his album, as well as the film, the Lifetime film? Because I'll be honest, I do watch Lifetime, but because I am hearing all of this controversy of them just putting out these stories without consulting the family, at least Lifetime to say, hey, we try to talk to them and they're being unreasonable.
Right,
we try to
right.
talk to them and they are asking for all this money and we don't have that type of resource. Or,
right.
you know what I'm saying, give me something. That it lets me know that Lifetime is just doing what they want to do. And I don't appreciate you taking a legacy and, well, I don't know, maybe that's what Lifetime is about. Because when we look at the movies, they're always based on something. So now I start to wonder, have they asked any of the family that
for
they
permission?
Feature? Yeah.
You know what? My thing is this with them doing the movies and like how, you know, Whitney Houston and Aaliyah's families upset, y'all can still do a blockbuster movie. People will still come. Because not everybody
right.
watches Lifetime. Like, for instance, I stopped watching Lifetime years ago because it was too depressing. I was like, I can't sit here and watch all these depressing shows. Like, I mean, like,
yeah.
you know, there's always somebody getting beat down, somebody getting killed. Now, like, for some reason, when I was a teenager, it was cool. Like, I liked to watch Lifetime. We would sit there and have Lifetime movie marathons. But then
right.
when I became older and life got
yes.
real, it's like I got my own problems. I can't be sitting up here looking at these problems on TV. If I'm going to look at something, it got to be comedy, action,
yes.
suspense. Like it can't be
it's
nobody getting beat down.
Yes,
yes. I can't do it. But the mm-hmm. thing is, her family, they can still come out with a blockbuster. I mean, I personally probably won't watch it. Unless I see people talking about it on social media. Like, if they talking about it and they just keep talking about it, then I'm like, well, let me find this and watch it. But I probably won't watch it. You know what I'm saying? Because, one, I ain't got Lifetime. Two, you know. I am from that generation when she passed. Yeah, you know, when she passed. So I kind of... Even though I understand it's business on Lifetime for, like, you know, everybody saying they should contact the family, I agree. Like, that would be the reasonable, the human thing to do. But when you only about making money and business, you don't care who told you stepping on. You know what I'm
yeah.
saying? Or
yeah.
So, like I said, if I was her family, I would get with Spike Lee or some other film producer. And I would get down to the get down and really give them the details of her life. And I would just trump Lifetime's little movie. Like, y'all want to play? Let's play. You know what I'm saying? Let's do this. And we're going to release it on the same date your movie coming out.
Well, you know, so this is what I think about. Because we're doing the Indie Up show, and we're talking about up-and-coming artists. And the theme that we have been addressing for the night, I just want to just point it out again. The first one was with Tamika Arnold responding to French Montana asking, does he even legally own his name? That's one. And two, the second that I didn't discuss is, even though DMX has such a strong and profound opinion about what Drake was doing, recently, I just read that DMX has had his royalty checks garnished because of his lack of payment for child support. Okay, that's two.
Wow.
Three, we're bringing up the fact that there's an entity, an entertainment entity, an entity outside of Aaliyah's estate that is controlling her image. And so I think that it is time for us to maybe have a few discussions about what indie artists need to do to ensure their own legacy, like Ice Cube is doing. He's in control of his image and his branding, and he has been in control from the time they stepped out into the scene to the time they broke up as the NWA group in 1991. And, you know, generally when groups break up, the individual members don't always have success or longevity in the business. And this has been an exception for him. He has continuously transformed himself. And so I like to use him as a barometer, as a goalpost on what indie artist can do. Take control, because part of the reason why they broke up, and you can listen to why on his Death Certificate album. Yes, I'm from Lone Ice too. Yes, Death Certificate. That's one of the hardest albums. Yes. Okay.
You just got to put that out there. If you didn't know, now you did.
Well, because he was talking about how the manager was trying to, you know, basically screw them over and profit off of them when they were doing all the work. And really, Ice Cube had did a majority of the work. He was writing the raps, and he was a producer. And in addition to being in the studio, he was trying to do self-development, continuing to go to school. And the reason why I bring that up is I want any artist to know that, yes, you have to practice your craft, but you have to have a balance in life. You have to still pursue the other talents that you have. Everything can feed into music, but if you're only focusing on music, you're going to be out of balance. And so you're not going to be able to see what people are trying to take from you and when they're trying to get over until it's too late. So
you definitely got to have eyes in the back of your head. Okay, you gotta have
this is the life of an indie artist. Go ahead, let the people know. What have you found and heard in the industry as you take your journey, life of an indie artist, Ray Cole?
Anyway, shameless plug. But no, I mean, from what I've just seen thus far, I mean, you really just have to be careful. You have to be careful who you really associate yourself with. You have to be careful what you say. You have to be careful what you do. You have to be humble. I mean, it's just so many things that you have to do. You have to make sure you cross your T's and dot your I's. I tell people all the time, don't be putting your music out there if it ain't got no copyrights on it. You know what I'm saying? Because somebody been to got you and ain't nothing you can do. And the people will know it's your song. People could have been there sitting there while you wrote it, okay? And somebody else be singing it and getting paid for it, and you be looking crazy. So, I mean, you just have to really, really be careful. The best advice I got was know your business, because somebody else will know it better than you. You know what I'm saying? And it's like every day I'm trying to better myself and find ways to gain more knowledge and ways to maneuver and walk, because, like, people can give you a handbook and say, hey, do this, do that, and the third, but really, just like I told my sister, like, she was taking her, you know, doing a little driver's test, you know, and she was saying, well, the teacher wants us to do it this way. I said, let me tell you something. When you get out there on the road, all that stuff she's talking about is going to be a completely different ball game. Like, don't nobody drive like that. And that's the same thing with, you know, like being an indie artist. Like, people can tell you, oh, you're supposed to do this. Some stuff, yeah, it's cool. But most stuff, sometimes you got to wing it. You know what I'm saying? Or rearrange it to fit you. Like, you really have to be in it to understand it. That's why, like, we had that conversation back about P. Diddy getting, you know, becoming a doctor or whatever the term is for him to become a doctor down at, was it Howard University? Yes,
correct. Yes.
Okay. He deserved that because for somebody that doesn't have a degree to walk into this field and maneuver his way to the top of it, like he had to learn a lot of stuff on the way up, or he just one lucky person, and I doubt that luck got him that far. But yeah, that's all I have to say is, you know, just make sure you cross your I's, dot your T's. Another thing, people, another thing, and I'm going to stop preaching, okay? Stop insulting other artists on Facebook, on any other social media. Stop insulting the venues and the people and the promoters and all this type of stuff. So what you don't like this person? So what you don't like this venue or you don't like this, that, and the third? Unless you plan on building your own stage, when working by yourself completely, don't do it because it's a turnoff. And at least to me, when I see it, I'm like, ooh, I would never want to work with you for the simple fact that if you get mad, you're going to put it on Facebook. What you don't realize is that person that you're talking about, their artist, that venue, that's their brand. You know what I'm saying? And just because somebody do something you don't like, that don't make it right. You know what I'm saying? Or it don't mean that they're wrong. It just means you don't like it. So, you know, hey, that's all I wanted to ramble about the life of an indie artist. You know, that's some of the stuff that I've been seeing lately. And, you know, if you know better, you should do better, right? And that's all.
That's Maya Angelou, yes, ma'am. And that is, I appreciate what you just said because that is a wonderful transition into an artist from your neck of the woods, Midwest. Kansas City, Missouri, Tech, corn and plains, honey, corn and plains. You in the plains.
Let it burn. Yes.
I wanted to feature this story today and make sure that we discussed it because Tech N9ne has been noted from the Forbes list as one of the wealthiest hip-hop artists while staying independent. So
loan me $20.
Exactly. Let this be a note for every indie artist out there. Yes, you may want to sign to a label, but in the event that you don't, or in the event that you just don't want to, or you have and it did not work out for you, you can be on the Forbes list. Make your own path. And so
right.
I need to go through this. And he was on the Forbes list. It was listed under Cash King 2013, the world 20 highest paid hip-hop artist. He came in at number 18, and he was listed at making $7.5 million. Yes, Tech N9ne.
Yeah. Let me get that 0.5 part. Let me get the 0.5 about you. Let me get that. I'll be satisfied with that. I promise you. I'll show these dudes how to live, how to make that money stretch. No, don't pay me no attention. Well,
So, I mean, not only he did not want this, he was upset that this was revealed. He didn't want his public earnings exposed. He wanted it to remain secret and private. But at the same time, I understand. But at the same time, yes, pat on the back because this gives inspiration to those up-and-coming aspiring artists that we're speaking to. So, again, he's from the Midwest. He put the Midwest on the rep. He started a label, Strange Music, on his own. Actually, he did it with a partner, and I'll get to his partner in just a minute. So they call him, they say that he commands one of the most devoted fan bases in music industry, in the music industry.
Wow.
And I thought that was very interesting. So he's 41, and they consider him a rapper's rapper for populating and perfecting what they call a staccato flow of rap called Chopping. And he did this back in 1997 on a song entitled Questions from a Tupac movie, gang-related. Go, you know, Tupac the tie anyway. So,
yeah,
only gonna
get
the best. But you know what? I'm sorry. Just on a side note, Tupac, what was it? No, it was the Three Times Mafia. Who was Tupac with? The people that was rapping with them.
Was he a dancer or something, or was he like, wait a minute, I might have to Google it because I know who you're talking about. I just don't remember.
No, he wasn't a dancer. He was a rapper. I'm talking about the people.
That's Dr. Dre that was a dancer.
You know when he did the Hail Mary, his last album and all that? And he
Machiavelli?
Yes, Machiavelli. And he had those rappers because they were like his protege. They done popped.
I know
like
who you're talking about.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm trying to think
about
it because in that one song, Hit 'Em Up, he say who they are, don't he?
Yeah.
I can't remember it.
We're going to move
on
because Tech N9ne, he utilized his platform. That's all I'm trying to say. You could be on with the best, but if you can't, if you're not unique and you don't know how to utilize your platform, you will die out and... Me and Ray Cole will not know your name. I'm sorry. Yes,
right,
sorry.
Okay.
Okay, that's...
You will not be a topic for discussion.
I'm sorry.
We will not know who you are and what you do, and we won't care.
Just moving on quickly. Let me just sum this conversation up. So, you know, ever since then... The Chopping has been his calling card. Bone Thugs and Harmony utilize it. Twista, Eminem have all kind of utilized Chopping in their own way. And they're all Midwest artists. So that comes in the movement. And next week, I definitely want to focus on how do you make a movement. Because Questlove had a good... interesting article about that. So we're going to talk about that because it's hard to be an individual and really impact the industry. But if you're part of a geographical location, you're part of a group, you can do all kinds of things. I'm not saying it's impossible individually, but you see a lot of people, you got to learn to work together. You can't be like all yourself saying ass and, you know, he's talking crazy about the people he work with, cussing out fans. I'm sorry to point him out.
Oh,
that people.
Girl,
please
no, he needs to cut it out. Okay, I'm sorry. That dude is like it's apparent that he got some deep-seated issues or something in his life. I think we talked about it or something. Somebody close to him got killed or died or something like that, which I get it. You know what I'm saying? You're going through it. You hurt. But the way that you're talking to people and treating people ain't going to get you nowhere. Okay? Like, it's just not going to happen. You know what I'm saying? Because he cursed the girl out on 106 in Park. Like, she asked a question, and he said, I ain't want to talk about that. I told him. I ain't want to talk about that ish. I said, what do you say if you the host? Because I couldn't imagine somebody saying that to me. Like, the way he said it, like, it's one thing if he was laughing, but the way he said it was like, you say it again, I'm going to steal you on your job. Like, it's going to be a battle.
Go ahead and say it if you want to. Yeah, it will be a battle. It will be a battle of the words. Yes, I wish you would talk to me crazy, sir. Yes, go ahead. It just, I don't know. I'm saying,
like, you threatening people, like, you indirectly, you know what I'm saying, subconsciously making threats to people, like, the way you talking, like, you know, if it was the right person, they been to stole you, like, you mad at people stealing your hat, like, you just need to, sir, I don't know you, all I can speak about is what I see, and from what I see, you need to get some shrinkage, some counselorization in your life, okay, because you got some issues that, you know,
go back to Tech, because I don't even want to give that dude any more time, because he really, Tech N9ne really, in an interview, it was a 2011 MTV Rap Fix interview, he really lets the independent artists know how it pays off for them. Maneuvering without a major record label. And he says,
it's while being on tour. And he said, being involved, this is a quote, being involved in all those major labels was in the past. Nobody knew really how to do me, how to put me. But who knows how to do me better than anybody, me. So he started his label, Strange Music Label, in 1999 with a business partner, Travis Sogun. I don't know. Sorry if I pronounced his name incorrectly. And so what that meant was that he was able to go on tour to places where no one knew where he was. And he said that they would play small-town shows with only 10 people in the audience. And he would still perform. When they came back the next time, there would be 30 people. And then they came back, and it would be 200 people the next time. And he said, if you want to be a hip-hop president, you've got to get out there in politics. And so he is estimated to do about 200 shows per year, and that's a schedule more than a typical rock band. But he says that all the money that they make on tour is pumped back into the Strange Music as they sign other artists to the label. And they built a huge empire facility, a $1.2 million facility in Kansas City. And he says that he's surprised that other artists wanted to go the independent route and tour heavily to support themselves. He's saying in the digital world, artists have to find new ways to sell their music, the social media. You know, and that's why I'm saying, I don't understand, like, Trina's response and French Montana. If you have a platform, use it to make your money. I don't know why, even 50 Cent, I'm sorry. I'm calling out people, but I don't agree. This is just my own opinion. I don't agree with you using the platform negatively. I just think that every chance you get out into the public should show who you are as an artist.
Well, not unless you're wasting your time. You are wasting time when you get up there and do stuff like, for instance, Kenya on Real Housewives of Atlanta. You should be having all business ideas. Like, you can talk about Phaedra and whoever else all you want to, but every time the show come up, they got some new business endeavor that they are bringing to light, bringing to the table, and that they're promoting with their platform. You are just on their calls and craziness. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's her, but, like, when I see people with that platform, it's like, man, you know, people would kill to get a platform where they could promote themselves and put who they are out there, and you people too busy up there trying to be monkeys in the zoo, you know, but just...
Monkeys
in the zoo, honey, yes, monkeys, yes, okay, stop playing in your boo-boo and get your mind right, that's all I'm saying. You know?
So then he says basically that major labels are missing out on the opportunity to build their artist fan base. We talked about last week of artist development. We were talking about Usher and his protege, Justin Bieber, and Usher was also a protege of P. Diddy. So we talked about artist development. But the artist's fan base, that is what is going to sustain you. Because we also discussed artists who the fans love, who may have been gone for years, but when they come back, the artists are right there welcoming them with open arms. How do you get to that point? And Tech N9ne definitely talks about this. And he basically says that his core fan base is always going to be there, whether they're putting out CDs or they're on, putting stuff out on iTunes. They're always going to be there. And he's saying that a lot of the major artists can't say that. They sold over a million copies, but they can't get 1,000 people to come see them. And he said that wasn't for them. And one thing that I have to say, too, and I just want to bring up quickly to sum this up, is that he recently performed at a KS107.5 Summer Jam at Fiddler's Green Amphitheater in Inglewood, Colorado. And at the time that he performed, he had just lost his mother. And yes. And it's like after the fans showed him all kind of love, because you have to think that an artist who was saying all this, and he's talking about the fans, he's giving his love, that is, and they say he's a rapper's rapper. You know, he embodies with that ability to go on stage and perform at this amphitheater on the day that your mother has just passed. Oh,
yeah. A lot of people wouldn't have been able to get through that, you know what I'm saying? So, I mean, I definitely commend his work ethic and, you know, and going through with it, you know, because, like, some people would have canceled the show. But, you know, sometimes that type of stuff, too, though, it kind of motivates you to do even better. I know that sounds crazy, but it just, it kind of, you know, it's like, I'm doing this for her. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Or,
right.
Like, and that's, like, I don't want to take it off of him, but, like, or take it off of what we're talking about with him, but, like, that's what I do when I have to perform, and it's like, man, I don't know nobody in this place. I don't know how it's going to go. I always think of, like, my mother and grandmother sitting in the audience. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I place them in the audience. You know what I'm saying? Because I'm like, if ain't nobody else in this sucker rooting for me or riding with me, I know that they will root for me and rock with me. You know what I'm saying? So,
yeah.
You know, but back to him, though, you know, like I said, that's definitely something, you know, he's definitely making his mark. And what's so sad is that somebody like him that's out there that's working the streets probably will get more love in the streets than some of these people that's at the top, that he's not, you know, he doesn't get more recognition, you know, but...
More recognition,
know.
But I think he's handsomely played to make the Forbes list. Thank you very much. And
oh,
two,
look,
just like he,
Bill Gates, Donald Trump, let me in.
He came in number 18 out of 20 for the hip-hop artist. Hello, yes, please put me on the list
either.
At whatever number. Yes.
Okay,
but
look, I'll be number
to...
200.
But they only went to 20, with the top 20, sweetheart. But, you know, 200 is okay.
Look, as long as I'm on the list. But on the same token, if I had that type of bread, I probably wouldn't want to be on the list either, because, you know, when you got money like that, people start plotting on you, like start trying to come to your house and slip and fall.
Yeah.
And it's going to be a sign on my house that say, enter at your own risk. I am not responsible for personal property or bodily harm.
Hold your words, because we're going to have a topic about that in just a minute. But in just a minute, because how your words can come back to get you.
I suppose.
But go ahead and put that sign up. Yes, beware of owner, huh? But
yes,
one thing that
okay.
I did like.
At your own risk.
One thing I did like that Tech N9ne said is he performed whether there was 10 people there, whether there was 30 people there, or 200. You know, we've all heard story of performers that, oh, I'm not coming if a certain amount is there. No, you perform for whoever
yes,
is your fan base. Because
yes,
that 10 will turn into 100,000 to a million to however.
They'll bring somebody next time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, not only that, my thing is, what they say about church, you only need 2 or 3 for a congregation. That's the same thing about a performance. You only need 2 or 3 people. And don't. What I've learned is this, too, as far as being like an independent artist, do not frown your nose down at anybody, because you don't know who these people know in this audience.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
You go out there and give a sucky performance, and come to find out them was an A&R rep, so they knew somebody at Sony, or you know what I'm saying? Or you just never know. So if you're going to perform, you give it your all, or just don't do it at all. Like, if you going to get up there and be BS, and you wasting your time. So,
that's good advice, Pezzo. And I know you want to go on to another song, but I just want the audience to know that Tech N9ne is going to have an upcoming performance on Jimmy Kimmel. And the taping is going to be on the 24th at 3:45 Eastern Standard Time. You have to be 18 years or older to be part of the audience. If you want to be part of the audience, you can go to the Jimmy Kendall website and put in the promo code TECH9, the number 9, J as in J, K as in kilo, TECH9JK. And he will be joined by Chris Calico, Mayday, and Kendall Morgan, and they're going to be performing the song Fragile. And the episode will air June 24th at 11:35 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on ABC. So if you are a fan or if you're going to be in the area where that show is being taped, please go out and support Tech N9ne.
Yes, yes, support the brother. He making moves. He on the Forbes list, honey. Support him, okay? Give him your coin, okay? Because apparently he's a likable brother. I mean, I'm just saying. Like, if you on Forbes list, but you ain't really up there, like, well, I'm not going to say he's not on, I don't want to say not on Drake's level, but you know what I'm saying, is you don't have the media, you know, like, pushing you down folks' throats. You know what I'm saying? Because, like, some people get pushed down people's throats more than others. So for him to still be making moves, that says something about him. You know, I don't know if anybody else catches that, but it says something about him. But we're going to play some music.
Who came out this Tupac? I mean, come on. Tupac has been gone a long time, and he's still moving and shaking? Come on, man.
You're right. I mean, he's shaking.
Longevity.
Yes, yes. You're right, man. You need to pay attention to this. I'm sorry, I had to burp on TMI, all right? But anyway, but no, you most definitely need to pay attention to brothers like him or any other ones, like we were saying, Ice Cube, Diddy. Like, they know how to survive in a game where people ain't making it past a year. You know what I'm saying? Or people ain't making it past a few months. Some people don't even come out. You know, like, I mean, they be on the shelf. You know, I'm working on my album. The album never dropped. So, you know, definitely... Yes, ma'am.
Look at 50 Cent. I'm sorry to use him, but he's the most modern example. His albums have not been making the sales like,
man.
I mean, Tech N9ne has, and what was it, 2010, 2011 came out with his 13th album? You know, come on now. And he's an independent, and you know, 50 Cent had his movies, his time. He and Hobnob with all these celebrities. And all
that's because he's too busy planning his boo-boo.
But he's reduced to making all kind of mockeries on social media. That's what he's using his platform. Where are these major labels now? Take control of your own destiny, people. We're talking to any artist. I'm sorry. Ice Cube.
No, I definitely agree. Because 50, like, I mean, he came out, he had the album. It was a good album, the first one. Then he got the vitamin water deal, which was a good thing for him. Then all of a sudden, the other albums that he came out with, I'm not going to lie to you, I wasn't interested in those albums. I tried to give him a shot because I liked his first album. I was like, you know, that first album went hard. I think what it was, you know, he probably just got too caught up and involved in the silliness, like I said, like the monkeys at the zoo playing in their own poop, you know, and playing in other monkeys' poop. You know what I'm saying? You done lost sight of what it is you're supposed to be doing. Mm-hmm. Now, I mean, I'm pretty sure he's still getting money somewhere, you know, but on the same token. But it's just like you could be doing so much more with the space, the time, and the gift that God has blessed you with, but you choose to be on the internet talking about Jay-Z and Beyonce them. You know what I'm saying?
I guess,
like,
as an artist, you have to decide what your value is. Is your value monetary and fame, or is your value with your gift and what you're giving to society? And like how Tamika Arnold said, what are you contributing? How are you helping? You have to decide as an artist.
Well, I think, too, we forget the way 50 Cent got on. The song that got him on was the Wangsta song when he dissed
Ja Rule and pretty much shattered his career. I hate to say that, but like I think Ja Rule just took too long. He took the wrong approach. You know how I say don't sometimes, you know, I just ignore people that try to be in my life, in my circle. I think he should have responded. And he should have responded with something extremely hard.
I think he
let himself kind of fall from grace with that one. But no, that's how he got on, through dissing other people. Okay, so you have to diss people to get on, and that's what he's been doing. He's been doing the same thing he did to get on, trying to diss other folks. But I think what it is people have gotten sick of it. You know what I'm saying? People see that this is what you have to do to be relevant. And it's just, you know, after a while it just turns you off because it's like, okay, we get it. You know what I'm saying? You try to put everybody down so you can keep the light on you, but all you do, you get the light for a minute, but it's not the light in a good way, like, you know how the light where it's like, oh, yeah, him. It's more like, really? Like, you talking again? You know what I'm saying? Like, it's one of those type of, like, an annoyance. So that's just my opinion. You know, I just wish he would do more with his platform or at least put other artists on. You know what I'm saying? Like, that could be something you could do. Find some other artists. Keep your money flowing in. Keep your mouth closed and keep your money flowing. That's all I'm saying about that. Okay? Sorry. Sorry. The irritation just got real.
Oh, no, that's all I'm saying. I have to get some music time break. You got to check back with you together, Cassie.
It's just that 50 Cent, man, you just, you know. I'm just saying, like, people need to, what's that song it's a poem called If. Now, I don't remember all the poem, but I remember a line that say, if you can keep your head when all about you, while others are losing theirs and blaming it on you. Like, learn how to mind your own business and worry about what you're doing. That's what I get from that line. Like, yeah, the world around you might be going crazy, but stay focused on you and what it is that you trying to do. Like, get out these people's business, 50 Cent. You worse than the tabloids. You know what I'm saying? Like, you up here reading up on other artists. and go, you know what I'm saying? Like, I...
Creating.
Yeah.
Making videos. But wait a minute. He can't go to his own son's graduation. He don't know when that's going to be. He wasn't invited to that. He was out of town for that. He can't talk to his own son's mother. Never mind. Create. Okay, I'm going to go ahead and leave that alone.
But you all in Jay-Z them business. You all reading up on what they doing. You should have been reading your son's graduation invitation. That's what you should have been reading, sir. So you can see what day and what area and what spot you need to be in, okay? Like, I mean, I wonder what happened with that, you know what I'm saying? Because it's kind of sad, you know, especially with so many young men, especially young black men, not graduating high school. I remember graduating high school, East St. Louis, class of 05. And they put all the girls in orange gowns, and all the guys had on blue gowns. And when I say it was a noticeable difference in our graduating class of the amount of young men that graduated than the amount of women, like, it was like, I think the girls, we filled up all the chairs. The dudes, it was only like halfway filled. You know what I'm saying? So for a young black man to complete his education, you know, you would think that you would stop whatever it is you're doing and go, even if he know you was there. You see what I'm saying? Like me and my mother weren't even talking when I graduated high school, but she was there. You know what I'm saying? When I graduated. So, you know, whatever the case may be, people, put your differences aside and be there for your kids. That's all I'm saying. And, yes, I'm going to end it on that. I'm going to play a song or two. Then we're going to be back with some more topics. Yes, I'm going to play Big J on my, I can't say this word because I'm trying to stop cursing, on my S-H-I-T. Then we're going to play Brenton Brown, A Chick Named Music. The Hour, India of Saturday, Ray Cole, Nikki Notations, and we will be right back. Thank you, man.
Yeah, you know I stay on mine, man. You know what I'm talking about. Be my appreciate the homie, support Big T. Hey, yeah, what's up, doing
my neck, look at my wrist, I shine like a left man.
Love my hood, you got me out of there. Yeah, much more than hip-hop to me. You the reason I can raise my sons properly. Took a stand when the world said do it just crazy. Show me the difference between the real and who it forgave me. So when it's me against the world, you the reason that in my mind that whole fight seems even. Heavyweight match with a belt with it all on the line. Thanks to you I take the odds anytime.
Nothing ever felt so right until she came in my life. Oh, it was a soul so deep nothing could suffice. Without her I think I'd lose it. Cause when I fell in love with a chick named Music. I fell in love with a chick named Music.
Check it, ayo, no cliche lines could define the time I spent. Rhyming to myself, affecting lyrics, making ends. Now I make the moves to make these unbelievers go repent. I ain't going back to broke because that shit don't make no sense. I'm on my grind, man, I'm heavily composing eyes close to the haters of the money that you're open. Destined to blow up a dynamite, nigga was chosen. I just shower in success until the Judas I had soaking. Hey, I can stick in shallow waters, I'm in deep and floating. That means I'm on my surface and I have it with my people. When I do, I touch the top for a while, then asleep to the clouds. Think about it, the heavens say that's me. Hey, I'm trying to be the best, I do it all for me. You hustle to pay some bills, I hustle so I can eat. I'm seeing my dreams through even when I'm not asleep. I'm a rapping juggernaut and ain't nobody stopping me, I'm saying.
Nothing ever felt so right until she came in my life. Oh, it was a soul so deep nothing could suffice. Without her I think I knew.
Positively exuberant, motivated, the mood I'm in. She is my soul, the reason you in the group you in. She gave me heartbreaking laughter, success and disaster. With me when I fucked it up and rocking with me after. Used to think that everything was sweet till I met the music game and found out that bitch was a freak. She liked in many ways, fathering her ways. And there is a people who treat her with love always. To me she is my morning wood, makes me go hard when I wake up. The reason the brother can get his cake up. What I take from her is cool, what she gives is bliss. She's my inspiration, the reason my goal is this. To take it all over, make it all over. Have my name on the charts, new age Hova. Blast like Nova, big like Scotia. Always social, dope like cocaine. And nothing else can come in between. The scent of fame she wears is so damn mean. So I grow my lettuce, harvest green. For the chance to advance my dreams, you know what I mean?
Nothing ever felt so right until she came in my life. Oh, it was a soul so deep nothing could suffice. Without her I think I'd lose it. Cause when I fell in love with a chick named Music. Fell in love with a chick named Music.
Oh, Where do you want to go to lunch?
I'm having a stroke.
Did you hear what I said?
I'm having a stroke.
Why aren't you answering me?
I'm having a stroke.
What's up with your face?
I'm having a stroke.
That's not normal. Is something wrong?
I'm having a stroke.
Are you having an allergic reaction?
I'm having a stroke.
When someone is having a stroke, they may not be able to say it with words, but their body language will tell you loud and clear.
I'm having a stroke.
You just need to know the sudden signs. Look for FAST, F-A-S-T. F, face drooping. A, arm weakness. Or S, speech difficulty. Then T, time. Time to call 911 immediately, because the sooner they get to the hospital, the sooner they'll get treatment. And that can make a remarkable difference in their recovery. Know the sudden signs. Face, arm, speech, time. Spot a stroke fast. Visit strokeassociation.org. Brought to you by the American Stroke Association and the Ad Council.
This message is for all of you sitting in the passenger seat, and apologies if it gets a little uncomfortable, but how does it feel to be at the mercy of someone who thinks a random text is more important than your life? Someone who takes their eyes off the road while speeding along in a 3-ton hunk of steel. Freaky, right? Well, why not just ask them to stop? Or better yet, volunteer to text for them. It might be a little awkward, but believe me, you'll live.
Learn more at StopTextStopWrecks.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration.
Yes, we are back. The Hour, Indie Up Saturday. I am your girl, Ray Cole. Holding it down with me is my cousin, Nikki Notations. And the other person that was singing that I forgot to mention was Pass Me, Call Me, Whatever. I like that song, and I like the Chick Name Music song, too. And the On My S was okay. But, yeah, those other two I really was, you know, I wouldn't mind those being in rotation on my own personal music device.
Yeah.
But, yeah, they were kind of fly. But to the back to that commercial about the texting, I just saw something on Facebook that says texting is illegal, but police have radars, computers. I was like, people know they will come up with some craziness. But, yeah, that's all I wanted to say, you know, just to kind of just went along with the commercial. Okay. But, yeah, it's back to our regularly scheduled programming. Okay, Cuzzo, take it away.
Yes, ma'am. Well, I just want to remind the audience that they can always contact us at area code 718-766-4553 while we're on air every Saturday from 7 to 9 Central Time. They can always email us at indieupsaturday@gmail.com. Our Twitter handle is at Indie Up Saturday and Facebook Indie Up Saturday as well. And
but
I
not only that.
I'll finish.
What I want to say is y'all better contact us while we still nobodies. Because once we move on up the ladder, we will not be receiving your call. I mean, we are somebody, but you know what I mean. Once we get on Ricky Smiley level, once we get on the Breakfast Club level, don't call us. No, I'm joking.
Crazy.
I'm sorry. I just had to say it because it's so funny.
God, I'm trying to tell you something.
Okay. Look, in my Sugar Gabry voice, okay? Yes. Don't call us. Nah, I'm joking. You're welcome to call even if we become a really big station. You feel free to give us a call.
We just have a challenging time schedule. How about that? We only have 24 hours, and sometimes those 24 hours are already designated, and we hope that we can reach you within a timely fashion. How about that, Cuzzo?
That sounds good, too, Cuzzo. But still, when we get on, don't call us. If you want trying to be a part,
of the India Saturday when we was at ground level. Don't be trying to be a part of it once we up in there. Okay, because we ain't got enough jet fuel to carry you. You will only be invited. No, I'm joking.
Oh.
I am so joking. You can still, you can call us. There ain't no guarantee that you're going to get asked.
I'm sorry.
Yes. I'm for real, but I'm just playing.
I'm just trying to let you know you better try
I'm just
that
saying. I'm just saying you better get it while it's hot. Okay, you better get it while it's in raw form, honey, because once they slice it up and put it on the plate, ain't nothing we can do about it. But, yeah, we're moving along, people.
I want to
move along.
Let the indie artists know real quick about some contests that I found, and this was at the behest and encouragement of Ray Cole, the indie artist out
of St. Louis.
To look for something that we can let the audience know about. And it's not a whole lot, but it's a little something to start you on your journey, people. So one of the things that I found was off of indiehiphop.net. And every Wednesday, they accept submissions from indie artists. And so you'll be able to post your music there and interact with other people, converse and dialogue with others or indie artists. So make sure you go to their site on Wednesday. Again, their website is indiehiphop.net. And every Wednesday they accept submissions from indie artists to post your music. Yes, ma'am. I mean, because every submission that's accepted will help to create a portfolio for you, something that you can include on your press release when you're trying to attract a particular audience, like A&R representatives, saying if you're going for particular labels or if you're just trying to get into the news, people kind of want to know what your track record is. So anything is better than nothing, people. Anything is better than your family telling you, A-okay. Another contest that I have found for independent artists is through Sunnel Vibe Records and LA Music. And what they are offering is you have the ability to win 2 blog features and 1 interview. How about that, people?
Well.
2 blog features and 1 interview. So what they require just through www.sonovibrecords.com, and that's S-O-N-O-V-I-B-E records.com. S-O-N-O-V-I-B-E records.com. Sonovibe Records. And again, 2 blog features and 1 interview, and go to their website to find out what their submission requirements are if you find this to be interesting to you. And also, let me just go back to the indiehiphop.net. They also have a contest for DJ artists as well. So you'll have to go to their site and find out exactly what their requirements are for DJs, because we all know and we're still going to do a segment on DJs as the gateway for musicians.
Yes.
We are working
on the ideal to have a DJ come on to the show, but, you know, I think I could rustle up one. You know, I got me a lasso, and I know how to use it. I'll lasso somebody in. Come on in and tell us what it is that you look for as being a DJ. Like, what if I came to you with my CD, what would make you play it? That's what you need to know. Indie artists, that's another thing. Stop kissing the booties of other artists that's on your level
and kiss the booties of the right people if you're going to be kissing booties, okay? If
you're not first of all, Ray Cole, you already a DJ on the ending of Saturday, first and foremost. Second of all, you bought the house of other outlets where you are going to be the DJ. Third of all... you know, the DJs better heed a warning that you better get it while you can.
You better get it while it's here, baby. You better get it while it's free. Because once the money starts coming, I'm a
hater.
yes. But no, I mean, in all seriousness, I would always want to work with other up-and-coming artists. Even if was lucky enough to make it, I would still want to work with other people that's up-and-coming because, you know, let's be real, everybody didn't get there by not getting a chance. Like, you know what I'm saying? Somebody had to give you a chance. You know, and I think that I have a really good eye for talent. Like, I can go somewhere, like, I could hear somebody, see somebody perform, and I just think I know the makings of a star. You know what I'm saying? And if I get to that level where I can put you on and I'm in the room with you and you talking the right stuff and I'm liking what you're talking, let's do business. You know what I'm saying? That's how I feel. But you know.
Well, you know, that's what they do in business. And as a musician, you have to consider yourself a business. You have to consider yourself a brand. Because part of business is marketing and public relations and obviously legal and things of that nature. But in the marketing aspect and consider yourself a brand, going through the legal aspect, let me just jump over to there. That's called acquisitions and mergers. And when you think about, say, these large IT companies or, you know, the software companies or pharmaceutical companies, they look at up-and-coming people who have an idea, a platform, but they may not have the revenue. They may not have the human resources, meaning the warm-bodied people to put things in place. They may have all of that, and they will acquire that business for a large sum of money, i.e. Beef by Dre and Apple.
Oh, man.
Hello, can we all say $3 billion merger? And that's, I'm sorry,
loan me $20. Look, loan me $20. That's all I'm saying. Let me get a few of them dollars. I don't need all of them, just a few of them dollars, okay? Goodness gracious. Goodness gracious. I'm going to have me some Beats by Ray out in this, out in this piece. Look, how much he gets? $3 billion? Goodness gracious.
So all you got to keep so bringing it, reeling it back in to piggybacking off what you were saying, you always got to keep to the ground. Because if you don't, you'll be out of touch. You'll be out of touch like, I'm sorry, MJ was, Michael Jackson at a certain period of time, you know, in that Never Never Land. You know, there's other people that we can look at that when we're going through the generations of music evolution, that those who did not evolve were played out. And that's just how it goes. And
it's the truth, though.
Go to my boy Ice Cube.
Hi for your Blue Novelist.
How to survive in South Central. Yes. How to survive just in the industry. But anyway.
I mean, but people need to know that stuff, though.
Yes.
I mean, that's definitely something that we should all be aware of and that we should, you know, take heed to because the thing with music, and I tell people all the time, is a gamble. You know what I'm saying? Like, with the music industry, or really the entertainment industry, it's a gamble. Like, you might get on, you might not. You might have longevity, you might not. But the thing is, you definitely want to do what you have to do to ensure, you know what I'm saying, that at least if nothing else, I did all that I can to make sure I got a spot or, you know, or even if you don't get that spot, you've done the best that you can do. You know, you, like, but some
people
got to half-ass it and think that they're going to get on Dr. Dre, P. Diddy, them level. No, you got to be willing to put in the work and sacrifice. You know, that's just the bottom line.
Well, Michael, what I hear you saying to the audience is, yes, it's a gamble, but you have to take calculated risks.
Yes.
Calculated risk means putting in the work. Calculated risk means
surrounding yourself with people who are of like mind. Calculated risk. Risk means not taking yourself onto social media to talk crazy about a vendor. Not talk crazy about a fan who says something sideways, but focus on the people that says, yes, I appreciate your work. Thank you for coming out. I really needed to hear your music today. You know, whatever it is, take calculated risk. And at some point, that risk is going to pay off like Tech N9ne. Tech N9ne went out and performed, gave it his all for 10 people in the audience. He came back again to that same place where only 10 people were. He said only 30 people was there. But he still performed. The next time he came, only 200 people were there. And we
had numbers that keep growing.
Exactly. But at the same time, you know, when you're going somewhere and only 10 people are there or 30 people are there, you think about what you're going to get paid or what you're not going to get paid. And even if it's 200 people, who's going to get a cut of that? You know, you have the promoters, you have the venue, and then you have the artist that's coming in later, you know. And then you have people that's part of your entourage probably that's traveling with you that need their hotel and food and transportation paid for as well. All of that has a factor into your calculation. So
you are absolutely
right. But take that calculated risk that is going to propel you into a TLC level. That's going to propel you into a Leah level. That's going to prepare you into a Tech N9ne, my Ice Cube.
He's saying, yo, Boonopolis. Well, ladies and gentlemen, there it is. Calculated risk. Stop talking crazy
calculated
on
risk.
Social media, because don't nobody want to hear that craziness. I see it, and they probably going, and it's going off on fans. We about to get ready to end this show for tonight. You could have been anywhere in the world doing anything, but you're listening with us. We appreciate
you.
And yes, hopefully you tune in next Saturday, the hour, NDF Saturday, Ray Cole, Nikki Notations, and we out this piece.
Bye.
Where's the music? Where's the music? Come on with the music. Wait a minute, wrong call.
At least he didn't do the boo. Remember the boo.
Boom, boom. Where's the music? Okay, we about to make something up. We're going to freestyle because it's playing games and we trying to go. Something, 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 power. Something, 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 the hour. The hour. The hour.
The hour.
The hour.
Hey.
The hour.
Hey.
Nikki Notations. And we is out. Thanks.
Bye.